Thank you for calling our claim center. Para español, marque el número uno.
For tire, wheel, or key replacement claims, press 1. For dent repair or windshield claims, press 2. For gap, theft protection, or value protect claims, press 3. For all other claims, including towing reimbursement, rental reimbursement, or for customer service, press 4. For tire, wheel, or key replacement claims, press 1. For dent.
Please be advised that all calls are recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Thank you for calling the claims department. This is Samantha speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, I was calling to get information about how to submit a receipt for reimbursement.
Reimbursement for what service exactly?
Rental.
Okay. I would have to go through the entire process with you and, of course, give you some information as I go along with the rental reimbursement claim. Okay, and may I have your first and last name that's on your policy, please?
Janicia Wilson.
Can you spell your first name for me so I can have the correct spelling?
Sorry, J-E-N-E-C-I-A. And then last name, Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N.
Okay. And Janicia, may I also have the address on your policy, please?
804 North Long Street, apartment 213, Opelika, Alabama, 36801.
All right. Thank you for that information. Just one moment here. And do you still have acceptance insurance?
Yes.
Okay. And can you confirm the year, make, and model of your vehicle for me, please?
2015 Nissan Altima.
Okay, thank you for that information here. Just one moment. And what exactly happened in order for you to get a rental vehicle?
There was an accident.
Accident with another vehicle?
No.
Okay. So what exactly, what was the accident? Did you hit something or?
Oh, yes, I hit a mailbox. I mean, I didn't know you needed this specific. Yes, I hit a mailbox.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Would it be helpful if I gave you the claim number?
Oh, no, that's fine because I'm pretty sure you have a claim number from your insurance company and that's something that you would have to keep for your records.
Okay,
just one moment. So you say that you hit a mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This wasn't a car accident, so of course there's no police report for hitting a mailbox.
No, I have a police report.
You have a police report?
Mm-hmm. So I'm submitting a claim for something that occurred a couple of weeks ago because I didn't know that I could submit a claim through you guys. But I'm also actually in the process. I hit a pole. So I'm in the process of needing another rental and such, but my policy requires for me to get a police report, period.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say when it comes to a mail, because you said a mailbox, correct?
Or right. They made me get a police report. The mailbox that made me get a police report for this incident with the pole is not like an official police report like the first one was. But they had to call and verify that I contacted the police and everything.
Oh, wow. I've never heard that before.
A bunch of bull.
I was insane. What did the officer write on this report?
The crazy part is, girl, I hit the mailbox. I had to go to the police station, and then I had to wait almost an hour for someone to just come take the info. Then when they took it, they were like, what? You came here to tell us you hit a mailbox? It was crazy.
Yeah, that is the funniest thing. I've never heard of that before. Where
yeah.
You have to. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that was the last thing.
It's a lot of things that I experienced that people have never had before.
Because I was going to say, well, I mean, the mailbox might be very hurt right now. And you know, so they and maybe they just wanted you to have a report just in case it was someone's mailbox and they reported someone hit it. So I don't know.
Nope. They just, this insurance company is extremely difficult to say the least.
Okay. Okay, I see. So we are going to need a copy of that police report, just so you know. You know, I don't know what, you know, if it's helpful towards the situation, but since you have it, we're going to go ahead and just throw that in there. Alrighty.
Okay.
So right now at this moment, is the vehicle being repaired? Like, is there damages to the vehicle that you had to get it repaired?
Yes.
Okay. Just one moment. Okay, all right, let's see here. Just one moment. Okay, just one moment. Let me see as far as coverage on your policy. So I know you have a rental reimbursement, which I do see that you have one for 25 over the maximum of 10. Did they actually explain to you the coverage based on what you have as far as rental when it comes to just an accident only with another vehicle? Because you do have two policies that provide that coverage, and one is comp and collision when you get into an accident with another vehicle, but this is one of those situations. So is it something mechanical happening with the vehicle at this moment where it had to be in the repair shop? Or
the original one that I'm going to file a claim for, the shop was far. The shop that I chose was based off someone. It was just a family-owned person. So it was about 4 hours away from me, so I was leaving the vehicle with the person. So that I needed a rental car in that case. But I didn't even have the vehicle for too long of a time because of the way the insurance was acting. They wouldn't pay for a lot of things. So I ended up having to surrender the vehicle back and go get my car. But no, they did not explain anything to me. Sounds like what you're about to say doesn't sound good. So what?
Oh, no, not at all. I was just asking based on, you know, of course, you know, with the coverage based on what they provided on the policy. You know, in order for us to open a claim, one of them states that with the rental, you have to be in an accident with another vehicle. And, of course, this wasn't necessarily a situation with another vehicle. So I just wanted to make sure I know what documents I'm sending over to you. And I believe I would have to, I don't know if I'm putting it as a collision, actually, or is it like a mechanical issue? So, like,
a motor vehicle, like, collision thing. I'm trying to find the police report now. I know this one was, like, it was class, even though it wasn't involved with the vehicle, the way the report read and was written up was as if, like, it resembled as if it involved another vehicle.
Okay. And so was the vehicle drivable after that situation? I mean, I'm pretty sure you were able to actually drive the vehicle throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. So we're just going to do this as a collision, just in case. And, of course, we can move forward with this, and hopefully your insurance is able to actually, you know, go along with the process as far as approval of everything with the claim.
Why would they have to approve anything?
Well, basically, it depends on, with the rental reimbursement, it does state that you have coverage for $25 for the maximum of 10 days. But I do see extra information in which they provide that, of course, rental accident with another vehicle only if you have a different, you know, side of your policy, in which I'm not able to actually verify that information. But it's not necessarily something you would have to, like, worry about at this moment, because I'm actually just going to open the claim and you're just going to provide the information and we're just going to move forward with the claim and get it started for you. Okay, all right. And when exactly did the incident happen?
So I don't have a copy of the police report on me. I think
it's something that you can actually Yes, it's something that you can actually get from them, and they can actually email it over to you as well.
Who is they?
The police station actually get the report from the statement when you actually made the statement.
Right. The question I was asking is really based off of, is there a way that you guys can get it from acceptance so that I don't have to pay for it?
Not exactly. So acceptance have the police report?
Yes, because I had to pay for it, get it mailed over to them, emailed over to them.
Okay, so the thing is, if they have the police report, what they can do is you can have them probably, I'm not sure if they can scan and send it over to you, or they can actually upload it to your claim. Once I provide you with all the information, then they can go ahead and submit it for you as well.
Okay. So my claim is, like, everything concerning this claim is actually done, complete, and everything. So it should already be uploaded on the claim. But you don't have access to go in there and actually see as we speak?
No, because we're a different company. We're a third-party company that actually provides the roadside assistance coverage to your policy and also the rental reimbursement part to your policy. So with the rental reimbursement, our claim number would be different from the claim number and information that you already had and you already, you know, had open with the incident, with the insurance company. So it's a whole different, you know, whole different situation here.
So is there a way that I could just go ahead, submit what I need to submit to you guys, leave off the police report, and then we cross that bridge when we get to it kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I was going to open up the claim for you and then, of course, provide you with all the information you need and then give you access to the portal so you can go ahead and submit certain documents to us in regards to the rental reimbursement.
Okay. Now, do you know how long the reimbursement process usually takes?
It actually starts to be processed by the processing department whenever you submit all the documents. So if you actually submit just a few documents and they're still waiting on one, actually delays the process for you to get reimbursed for the rental vehicle.
Okay. Next question I have, just while I'm thinking about it. So the way the reimbursement process works with the acceptance insurance is I pay up front and then I turn around and have to, you know, get reimbursed with it. I know that I'm submitting this after the fact because I didn't know, you know, anything prior to. Is there a way with whatever policy I have with you guys that you guys will pay up front versus the reimbursement?
No, that's not how it normally works. The same way they explained it to you is how it would work for the rental. And we're referring to the rental, right?
Yes.
Okay, so with the rental vehicle, and that's why I wanted to kind of open the claim and, of course, explain everything to you so I don't confuse you with kind of too much information. Basically, it's something that you would have to pay for up front when it comes to renting a vehicle. It's just like a regular rental if you're trying to rent a vehicle for any occasion, basically. And whatever deposits or any upfront payment you have to pay, you would be responsible for it, and then you would submit the receipts and all the other information to us for reimbursement after.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I'm pretty sure you might have some questions as I go along with everything. So I'm just going to open the claim and, of course, go over your disclosure with you. And then if you have any other questions while I do this, then you can definitely go ahead and ask me those as I go along.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. And when exactly, I don't remember. I think I asked you when the incident happened. Was it sometimes in April or was it in March?
No, it was sometime in February. So I want to say it happened like February 20-something, but I don't know the exact date, and I can't find any information on that claim right now.
So if you were to actually put a date to it, then.
Ma'am?
No, I was saying if you were to actually put a date to it, what date would you say?
This is 126. I'm sorry, I found some information that's on here. I'm just trying to see if it has a date on here, because I don't want to give you wrong information and make it seem like I'm trying to lie.
No, you're fine.
The adjuster sent out something in an email on 127.
But that if the adjuster sent something out, then that would probably be after the incident, because that means the adjuster had to inspect the vehicle at that time. So it would probably be a little bit before that adjuster came out to inspect the vehicle. I don't know. I don't believe you have to be, like, exactly, like, accurate, as long as all the other information actually matches up with when you got the rental vehicle and, of course, all the other documents. So you can probably just pick a date in February. You know, even if you went back a couple of days before that, then that should be fine.
I want to do it for the 22nd.
Okay. We can do the 22nd of February.
Actually, the date of loss on here is 115-22.
The date of loss.
So the date, so the claim date is January 15th, 22.
Okay.
I didn't get the rental until the month afterwards, but yeah.
You didn't get the rental until when?
Specifically. 226.
Was it in?
I got it 226 and I returned it on March 7th.
Okay, so with the date of loss, you're referring to when the vehicle, that was like during the time when the incident happened, or was this?
Correct, that's
something
the date.
Else.
Correct.
Okay, got it. All right, no problem. I can go ahead and open the claim for that. All right, one moment. Okay, and also for this claim, would you like to receive electronic notification when there's a change within the claim status?
Please.
Okay, would you prefer a text message or email updates?
Text is fine.
All right, just so you know, messages and data rates may apply. Okay, just one moment. You should receive a message on your phone now in regards to that. All you would have to do is reply yes to that message, and of course you'll receive updates based on this claim.
Okay.
Okay, one moment. Okay. All right, so due to the fact that you do have acceptance insurance, I do have to read over your disclosure with you so that you have a better understanding of how this actually works, even though you got a rental already. Okay, so this is a rental reimbursement policy, and your policy covers up to $25 per day for the maximum of 10 days. And if you rent a vehicle for $27 per day, then the policy will only pay $25 per day. And if you rent a vehicle for $23 per day, then the policy will only pay $23 per day. Your policy covers the rental rates only, and your policy does not cover any taxes, fees, or extra insurances. Your policy covers up to $25 for the maximum of 10 days. Covered rental days are based on the repair time listed on the estimate. And rental reimbursement starts on the second day of your rental. So that means if you rent a vehicle for 4 days, we will reimburse for 3 days. And as I explained, your rental must be from a licensed rental agency such as Avis, Enterprise, or Herx. Any questions based on your disclosure?
No.
Okay. Alrighty, so I am going to send over, let's see here, I'm going to send over some documents to you and, of course, advise you on some documents that we actually do need as well. So for this rental reimbursement, we are going to need a couple documents from you based on this. So we're going to need the claim form, in which I just sent over to your email address. And all you'd have to do is print that out and send it back to us. And also, of course, we already mentioned the police report since it's provided. You can submit that once you retrieve that as well. And we're also going to need the adjuster's estimate, the body shop bill, and the repair. Well, not the repair bill. I'm sorry. That's the same thing as the body shop bill and the rental bill. So I do have three options in order for you to actually submit these documents to us, in which I can give you the web portal with the website and your claim number with an access code in order for you to log in, or I can send an upload link to text message or email in order for you to click on that link and submit all the documents to us. So which option would you prefer?
The link is fine.
Okay. Did you want that link sent through text message or email?
Email is fine.
Okay. Alrighty. And it's Janicia. Is that how you pronounce your name?
It is.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I had the correct pronunciation, but thank you. May I also have that email address, please?
Is Janicia my first name? J-E-N-E-C-I-A. W@yahoo.com.
Okay, so I have JaniciaW@yahoo.com.
Yes.
All right, so I'll go ahead and send that over to you now. Okay, so I went ahead and sent over that link to your email address. So you should receive that link. And all you would have to do is just click on that link and upload all the documents and send them to us in order to receive the reimbursement for the rental. And, of course, when you submit all the documents, it does take 3 to 5 business days once all the documents are submitted for the processing department to review everything and then go ahead and issue reimbursement based on what your policy actually covers for rental reimbursement. And
okay,
what I can also do here is, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to tell you that I was going to give you your claim number just in case if you wanted to call in and refer back to the claim that I just opened for you. Then I can give you that information.
Will it also be on the email?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
I normally give that information because some people like to have it, you know, written down elsewhere. So, but on the claim form that I sent to you, it is on the very top. I think it's on the right-hand corner. It would have all the information with your claim number just in case. And if you ever forget what documents you need to submit to us, it would be listed on the first page of the claim form to let you know what documents we also need.
Okay. Another question that I have is, so I guess I'm going to need this again because I'm currently, I had another accident, but this time the stipulation and things on it are a little different. So since this is seems like it's going to be a little process, can I go ahead and get it started?
Wait, what exactly? The rental reimbursement again?
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly how many rental reimbursements you can have open for one situation, and
okay.
I don't know how that works. I'm not sure. I would have
to
confirm that.
I know most people don't have one-to-one, so yeah, that makes sense. But I guess I'm just trying to see. I don't know what all information you're going to need with this second reimbursement. So in case I have to fight them on information, I wanted to go ahead and get that started. So I didn't necessarily have to deal with any unnecessary things, basically.
Right. So with this one, would it still relate to the same story when it comes to the accident with the mailbox, or is this for a whole different reason?
Whole different reason. I hit a pole. There is no official police report.
Is this the same vehicle, the 2015
yes.
Nissan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, just one moment. Let's see here. And was this like the same, around the same time frame as this one that we just opened, or is it after?
No, this happened after. This happened April 5th.
April 6th. Okay, I would have to actually confirm to see if you're able to actually do two claims with.
That's okay, I think.
Yeah, I can confirm that before you actually disconnect the call. So do you mind if I put you on a brief hold so I can confirm that information? And then, of course, I'm able to advise. All right, not a problem. Well, just one moment. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Denicia?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you so much for holding. Okay, so I do have a question for you, and I was able to actually verify some information. So based on this first claim, how many days did you have the rental vehicle for? Because it would matter in the case if you're trying to open up another claim for rental. So how many days did you have that first rental for?
10.
2 days?
10 days.
10 days. Okay. So when it comes to the rental reimbursement, and to answer your question, to open up another claim, you won't be able to because you actually maxed out the amount of days that your policy actually covers, which is 10 days. So, for example, if you actually had the first rental vehicle for this situation, say you had it for 5 days, basically, and you had a second situation like months later down the line, you would have been able to get another claim open in order to receive the reimbursement for the additional 5 days that you might have a second vehicle for. But the fact that you had the one vehicle for 10 days and your policy actually reimbursed $25 per day for the maximum of 10, so that means with a rental reimbursement... It's per claim, but you had the rental vehicle for 10 days. So that's why I was trying to make sure I asked how many days did you have the rental vehicle for with the first one.
Right.
So basically, I wouldn't say it's per claim. So it's basically within the entire year. That's what I probably should have said.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. So. You can cancel this one then, because I'm not gonna I'd rather get reimbursed for this second one than the first one.
Well, I can't necessarily cancel this one. I can't really cancel because it's already put in place here, and
that just doesn't
make
sense.
I don't know if it matters. Yeah, because I already put the date that you had with the first one, and of course with the accident of the mailbox and everything else, and I don't know if it actually matters which receipt you upload if you're planning on, if you already had the second rental. I'm not sure. You don't have the second rental already?
No, I do not.
Yeah, it's not something I can actually go back and just edit and close out, if anything. So basically, it's based on whichever receipt you... I'm sorry?
Will it time out? Because the link that you sent me is not working on my phone. It's asking me for an access code, and then when I get online, I don't even know. It doesn't even look like it's web friendly. But
which
it said
the open. Mhm.
It says something about the 15th. Like I had to submit them by the 15th.
I don't know. No, you actually had a lost date, which is the 15th, which is January 15th, in which you gave me earlier. So if you see, like,
no,
the lost date
on here,
I don't know what it was on your end. Well, you do have a certain time frame that you can actually submit the documents, but it don't necessarily have to be within that time frame because the claim would actually still be open. So it's whenever you actually start to submit the documents, then, of course, then they'll be able to move forward with it. But, of course, all the other documents have to be submitted as well. So it don't necessarily have to be submitted by the 15th. But for
if
this
I submit,
claim, I can...
If I submit the receipt that's later than the receipt that you put on here, are they not going to deny it?
If you submit the second receipt to the second rental you're trying to get?
Right, because the and if I upload all the information, it's not even going to match up.
Yeah, it's not going to match up with the claim that I actually opened. So I can probably, I would have to verify to see if I'm able to actually, I don't know, close, and I don't know how that actually works when it comes to getting rid of one claim and the other. I think it's because this one was already posted, so... just one moment. I just want to put you on another brief hold. I do apologize. I just want to make sure I know how to actually go about this, if you don't mind me verifying that for another, you know, a couple of minutes. All right, no problem. All right, thank you. Just one moment.
Thank you.
Hello, Janicia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much for holding once again. I apologize. And, of course, I have some new information and, of course, questions I have to ask in regards to this claim. So okay. For the second claim I'd like to open, did you actually reported the incident with your insurance company?
Yes.
Okay, so you have an adjuster's estimate for the second claim. With you hitting the pole, you have an adjuster's estimate with this one?
Yes.
Okay, and you had one for the first one?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so what I would have to do here, if you want me to go ahead and open up a claim, let me see. For the second one, I would have to close this one out because if you don't have a claim open with the insurance company, it will be something that could cause a denial in order for you to move forward and you wouldn't get any reimbursement for it. So I just have to get all the other information for the other one based on the reimbursement for this as well and move forward with that with a new claim.
Okay.
Okay. So
everything is, so you said, are you saying that it has to be open?
With the second claim?
The claim itself has to be still in the open status?
Yes, I would have to close this one out. Because if you want to actually move forward with getting the reimbursement for the other one, in which if you actually think about it, if you close this one out and then open another one, and if you're trying to get the reimbursement for the maximum of 10 days for the other one, it's basically the same reimbursement if you actually think about it. So you're only going to get paid for just one.
Yeah, it's not going to be the exact same reimbursement because for this first claim.
Yeah, because you only had this one for 2 days. Yes.
I paid more than what I should have. So basically on this second claim, I'm actually going to, the way they did it the very first time, they messed up. So the second time they did it per the policy where I'm having to actually pay $400 and something, where on the first time all I had to pay was $100 and something.
Are you referring to the rental?
Yes.
I'm trying to actually think about it. I'm not sure if I...
So the way that they did it the very first time, they did it where it was a direct pay, and it was a mess up. It was supposed to be reimbursed status. So at the end of everything being said and done, I only had to pay $147, whatever, and I was told that, you know, I have additional insurance that will reimburse that. So call and try to get my reimbursement with that. So that was my purpose of calling today. However, today, it was not a direct pay. I will have to pay, I have to have $400 and something on the card, and then I don't know how they're going to be reimbursing status of it because I have to submit it to them just like I'm having to submit it to you.
So you have to submit that one to your insurance company?
This second one I will, yes.
Okay, I believe I'm a little confused.
I'm going to get more from the second claim than I would from the first claim. Because I'm going to have it for more... like on this one, I know I said, I just know I'll get more. Because if you're only going to pay out 10 days, if this claim said 10 days, then you're not going to start paying out until day two, and you're not going to include taxes, and you're not going to do any of that, right? So if there's 150, then you can automatically go down to 90 or 80 because you're not going to include all of that. This claim, I know for a fact I'm going to have it for more than 10 days.
Okay, so let me explain. Some of what you said was correct, but some wasn't. Like, so based on the information that we got from Let me go back here, and this was acceptance insurance. When it comes to the rental reimbursement part of your policy, they are only reimbursing $25 for the maximum of 10 days, and that's basically it. There's nothing more. There's nothing less. It would be that exact amount regardless of how much you had to rent a vehicle for. The only reason why I stated that they don't cover taxes, fees, and extra insurances that you would pay out of pocket is because that is not something that they reimburse for, just the rental rates only. So it's just going to be a $250 in which you're going to get, regardless if it was more than 10 days, less than 10 days. If you have less than 10 days and you got the vehicle for like 7 days within the 10, you're only getting 25 times 7. Now, if you have the vehicle for 10 days or more than 10 days, you're only getting 25 times 10, even if you had it for 20 days, if that makes sense.
That.
It's going to be the same.
Is when you said, when you're reading the policy, you said it starts day two.
Yeah, I understand that, in which that's a disclosure that they provided for us to read with you, but it states on your policy here that basically your rental reimbursements is going to be $250 in a limited amount. So that would still be 25 times 10. I'm not sure exactly. I can't verify why that is included in your disclosure, but that's just, you know, something that we do have to read over with you. But it's going to be 25 times 10.
I feel like if you guys have to read it, then the way I interpret that,
Yeah, I know. It does get a little confusing a little bit because if it starts on the second day, then that means you're only getting reimbursed for 9. But it does state on your policy on the front, very front page of it, that your rental reimbursement is in the limited amount of $250. So that's what you would receive regardless.
I feel like I know what you're trying to say, and I don't know if I'm conveying it correctly, but I know I'll get more for the second one than what I will for the first one because I'll have more. I'll have it for longer. So if the 2-day thing is applicable, then if I only have 10, you're only going to reimburse me for 9 because I've only had it for 10 days. If I have it for 15, you're going to reimburse me for at least 10 of those 15, no matter if you start on day
10. Right.
And then on top of that, because of the first claim, some of the amount that I paid was taxes and fees. And you're not going to reimburse
me.
So on the second claim,
yeah,
it will not be taxes and fees. So I'll be able to get the max from the second claim than I would be from the first claim.
Not necessarily, because it does state that regardless of the actual amount that you paid for the rental, that's all it's going to be. They're willing to pay the maximum amount in reimbursement. So I don't know if the insurance company is going to give you additional reimbursement based on that, but that would be something that you would have to discuss with them. But as far as the information sent to us, it's just going to only be that 25 times 10, which is the $250. Yeah, but even with the second claim, so if you open the second claim and you even have it for 15, it's just going to be 25 times 10, still 250. So that's why I was saying with this claim, it's the same. The next claim is going to be the same in the reimbursement amount if you had the vehicle for that 10 days or even more. So that's what I was trying to have you
understand what you're saying. I don't guess that I'm conveying what I'm trying to say correctly because I get exactly what you're saying. I think for me, if the max is 10 days, then if I'm at 10 days, per what you read, you're really going to pay out for 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I automatically lose $25. That's first point.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You just don't want to lose a day, basically. I know for acceptance. Yeah, but it doesn't pay taxes and fees regardless of any claim that you open when it comes to rental. So you're still going to lose the taxes and fees.
Oh, okay. I see what you're thinking about now. So if,
yeah,
if
that's
I pay
what I was saying.
50 of that was in taxes and fees. So I'm automatically not going to get $75 now because I lost a day. And 50 of that was in taxes and fees. If I do it on this second claim, then I don't have to worry about the taxes and fees or the additional day because I'm going over 10.
Okay, but with the first one, I thought you mentioned that you actually went, you actually had the vehicle for 10. So it wasn't 10 or was it 10?
It was 10. So specifically to read this claim to you, and if it doesn't make sense, I honestly don't know how well. So specifically to
how much
read this claim
total?
To you, $176.46 is how much was charged on my visa. The taxes was $26.96, and they got some kind of fee that they got on here was for $52. It's just some fee that Hertz decided they want to add on them. So I don't know if that will even be covered, but we're going to say it. So for $26,
right.
I paid that in taxes and fees. $176, I'm on $150, right? Let's say that the 2 days, like starting at the second day, is applicable. So we're going to subtract $25. So I'm automatically now down at $125. That's how much is possibly reimbursable if I submit this over. It's $125. So if I do it at the second claim, I'm going to have it, let's say 30 days. I'm going to have it for 30 days. And I'm probably going to pay $300. And $20 of that is going to be taxes and fees. Doesn't matter because you're not going to pay me over $250. And then I don't have to be
returned
out even a day because I got $250. You know what I'm saying? I got the total amount of time. So on the second claim, I get $250. On the first claim, I get $125.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying now because you didn't actually get that vehicle for the maximum amount. Is that what it is? You said something about 20
right.
per day. Is that what you got the vehicle for?
Okay,
yeah,
I
understand.
I got for like for the day. I just know I did not. It wasn't at the entire when everything was said and done.
Like 25. It wasn't at 25.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 15.
I see what you're saying now. So I do understand. Oh, wow. You found a really cheap vehicle. Like, I'm surprised.
Oh, no. It was more than
okay.
that. Okay. The vehicle was like
took off some of the
I could pay, the remaining. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I see. All right. So I understand what you're seeing now. Okay, so I would just have to close this out and start over the entire process for the other one, of course. Okay, so let's see.
If you just want to close it out, you can do that. I can call tomorrow to start over the process. That won't be a problem. I don't want you to have to go through anything extra.
Yeah, I would have to close this one out and then... Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm in the car right now. It's not like I even have a receipt to submit right now. So if you want to just close it, we can just close it so you don't have to re-go through all the steps. I'll be perfectly fine with you
right.
closing it, and then I can just call in maybe day three or so when I'm in the vehicle, you know, so that I can submit the claim then because I don't even have a receipt to submit.
Right, right. I understand. Okay, so what I'm going to do with this one here, I'm going to close it out, and of course, you can open the claim for with the new information. So we're not necessarily doing the one with the mailbox incident. This is something totally different with the poll.
Correct.
Okay, all right. So I'm just going to close this one out for you. So you don't necessarily need that claim number because it's going to no longer be valid. So since you have an adjuster's estimate for both claims with the vehicle, then you find as long as the claim is actually open with the insurance company, then you should be okay to actually go ahead and move forward with opening a rental reimbursement for this one as well because you
okay.
are going to need that document to upload it.
Okay.
Alrighty, so, and for this one, well, for the next one, is the vehicle going to be in the shop, or is it currently in the shop at this very moment?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and close out this claim that I actually opened for you, and then, of course, you can actually call in and do the other one, if anything.
Okay.
All right,
okay, thank you so much.
No problem. So I'll just notate all of the information and just let them know you're not moving forward with this one. And of course, you should be able to, you know, open up the other one at a later
thank
time.
You.
Okay. All right. No problem. And besides this, Janisa, was there anything else I can assist with or any additional information that you might have?
No, that's all.
Okay.
No,
all
that's
righty.
All.
Well, thank you. Okay, no problem. Well, thank you for calling claims, and I do appreciate your patience with me, of course. And I hope that you have a great day as well.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
What did you find? I will. Thank